good morning.
It is a Tuesday morning.
We are with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Just over 24 hours left in the Trump presidency, Alan, and he is preparing for a final wave of pardons. Among those under consideration from the New York Times this morning for clemency are former New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, of all people, and the rapper Lil Wayne. The list goes on from well-known people like Rudy Giuliani, who says he does not expect one, and Steve Bannon, who now looks less likely to get one, and other low-level drug offenders and others. We're hearing a number around 100.
Well, 100 is a lot of people. On the other hand, former presidents have done more. I believe Barack Obama did more. The question is not how many, it's the question of who and what kind of strategy are they employing in order to do this. So that when you pardon Sheldon Silver, you have the ability to say, see, this is not only Republicans or Trumpites, it's also Democrats and people outside of our circle. And you make that case. Then we're hearing that people close to Trump and people who've been associated with Trump are selling their wares. In other words, saying we're able to get you a pardon if you come up with certain money. And we're hearing, whether it's true or not, we don't know, that some of these people were asking as much as $2 million for a pardon. Well, that may seem like a lot of money, and in this case, apparently was turned down. But on the other hand, $2 million is nothing compared to spending the rest of your life in prison, if that's the case. So this is really, you know, a wholesale market going on, and apparently some people are trying to cash in on it. At least that's what we're reading in the newspapers.
Well, and the beat goes on as President-elect Joe Biden will be inaugurated tomorrow amidst a fortress-like situation in Washington because of the siege of the Capitol. The President-elect Joe Biden has been working on his inaugural address, Alan, and it's expected to be filled with themes of unity. Can he bring this country together in such a divided time?
I think he can. And I think that the main thing that he has to do is to continue his progressive orientation and at the same time appear to most Americans as sensible and relatively moderate compared to some others who would change things overnight and would lead us into forcing the middle to make choices that they don't really want to make. You know, I think that the way that Trump is going, his numbers are lowering. Not enough, but they are lowering. And I think that the people of the United States are capable of saying, this is a guy that we can live with. If they can do that, then he will achieve his goal of bringing people together. If, in fact, it turns into a class or race or other kind of warfare, that's bad news. Look, people of color in this country have been screwed for years and years and years. That has to be adjusted. I think most Americans know that. But, you know, when you start doing all of these things, you have to keep an eye out to whether or not you're going to offend huge blocks of people who are quite worried about losing what they have in this society. And I am certainly hoping that Biden does the kinds of things he needs to do, forgiving some educational debt, which is crippling so many people in this country, or bringing some kind of decent health care so that every American knows that they can have health care, especially during this pandemic. Those are the kinds of things Americans want to see, and I have a feeling they're going to see them.
And as you reference parting of these people who sieged the Capitol, you see this video that's come out more in recent days of these folks in the chamber going through the desks, looking at the notes, taking pictures, saying Ted Cruz would want us to do this, praying up on the dais for the vice president sits. Meanwhile, we're finding that QAnon supporters discussed posing as guardsmen to try to infiltrate the inauguration. This is from FBI intelligence. We even see at the Capitol itself, the House Sergeant at Arms, Paul Irving, from the Washington Post this morning, Alan balking when the Chief of Capitol Police suggests activating the Guard 2 days before the January 6th attack because he knew congressional leaders, quote, don't want the military up there.
That's right. And that's shocking to so many people because we saw what the results were. We often play the if game, if the vice president had been harmed, and we know there was a lot of rhetoric about that. Or if Nancy Pelosi had been harmed, we know that in one case, one governor was threatened by people talking about kidnapping her. And if any of that had happened, it would be far worse right now. It was terrible. They trashed the Capitol of the United States, our most cherished institution. And David, you take a look and see what we are facing now. We are talking about tens of thousands of people who are committed to social unrest. That has to be solved one way or another. We still have to get through this inauguration. And frankly, I'm very, very frightened. So you can only imagine the kind of security that is surrounding Joe Biden at this stage. The Secret Service has quite a job to do in making sure that this thing goes off without anybody getting hurt.
Interesting opinion in the Washington Post today by Max Boot, a columnist, with the headline, Alan, Trump couldn't have incited sedition without the help of Fox News.
Yeah, there is a blame game going here. The Murdochs, who own Fox News, clearly are aware of this. Every once in a while, they show a little bit of spunk. But in the end, the kind of help that they've given to these folks and the incitement has got to be considered. You know, Fox News is now regarded by many of them as too moderate. They're looking for other places to go that are even worse. I think with the incoming president that you're going to see, that Fox goes back to its usual critique pose of the Democratic president. That's how they make their money, and that's what they're going to continue to do.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. We do need to keep this radio network alive, and that begins and ends with you.
David, put some money in an envelope and you say, I want to keep this radio station where it is, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. I say it a second time because it's so important. Or go to WAMC.org. Thanks, everybody. We know you're with us.